This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. All so that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Survivor Specialist, Phil and McKenna, are back, and today we are recapping the final two episodes of Survivor Australia Brains vs. Braun 2, episodes 23 and 24, the finale week. Miles pulls it out. Neither one of us actually saw that coming, right? We were both on the AJ's going to beat Kaylin train.
I mean, yeah, I thought that was the most obvious thing, but Kaylin went with his best shot. And I agree, Miles was his best shot over AJ. But yeah, Miles pulls it out. I figured Miles would still win if he made it there, but I just didn't think Miles was going to actually be able to make it there.
Yeah, that seemed to be what we were saying, right? It felt like it was AJ and Miles. One of those two was going to win. It just felt like AJ had the clearer path. Zara wanted to take him to the end. Kaylin wanted to take him to the end. And instead, Kaylin ultimately decides to go with his best shot. And I do think it was the right read by Kaylin. And we'll dive into his final tribal performance. But I think it was the right read from Kaylin that Miles is who he could beat. I think he loses 7-1, same result to AJ. However, I think against AJ, it's even worse because Miles went into this tribal council, into this final tribal council, with probably 2 or 3 votes. He did not have 7 votes locked in. And I think that Kaylin, his opening speech was phenomenal. And I said, wait a second, are we about to get an under-the-radar female version of Kaylin here? Is that what we're about to get? Because it felt like all the winners from Survivor's past that were females, right? Where it was like, no edit, sits next to this guy where we see this major edit. And then they win and we go, wait, what the hell just happened? And I'm watching it. And then as it progressed, he gave the jury none of what they wanted. Literally zero of what they wanted. So I do think that even though the end result was 7-1, which is probably the same end result he gets against AJ, I think he goes into the final tribal against AJ already losing 7-1. Whereas against Miles, it was probably closer to a 4-4. And then he just lost everybody. I think Paulie and Laura and stuff, they wanted to vote for him and he gave them nothing.
He said the word, "I played safe," at one point, and I was just like, well, there it is. There's the nail. Because I think he also took Kristen's question as well. So I think he started great with the opening. I resonated a bit more with Kaylin's opening statement than Miles's. So in my opinion, Kaylin had the opening statement. Then with Kristen's question, I think Kaylin knocked it out of the park with saying, "Miles, what's wrong with you? Of course I have the social pillar. Get out of here." And then I think Miles takes like the next few questions that we get. And that's really what solidifies it for me, is that, you know, Miles was better at the questioning portion, but I think Kaylin had a really good pitch for his game.
I want to say this, because a lot of people will probably watch this episode and say, well, Kaylin made the mistake of when they would ask a question, he wouldn't give them I forget who asked it. They asked the question of, what was your one regret? Was that Logan who said that?
It was least Karen said, what was something you were least proud of? Because Paulie asked, what was something you were most proud of in the game?
And so Karen asks that question and Kaylin gives the response of, I don't regret anything. I'm really proud of my game, which I actually don't think is a bad answer, because you should be coming in being proud of your game. If you're coming into Final Tribal Council, you shouldn't be needing to make up stories, tell a bunch of tales, and do a whole bunch of craziness in order to get the win. You should be coming in saying, I'm confident in the game I played. However, if they're asking you that question, they want an answer. They're not asking you that question because they want you to say, hey, I'm really confident in my game. You have to say, I'm very confident in my game, but if there was one thing, that one thing. He never said, but. And it's good to be confident, because that's what's ultimately going to make them say, hey, look, Kaylin came in, came in with the strategy and he played the game as well as he could have. This mm-hmm. is what he wanted to do. But you need to give the question asker an answer to their question. This yeah. way they're satisfied. Even if you're lying through your teeth, you have to do what you have to do. Remember, Chris Doherty brought his hat, brought Julie's hat. He didn't yeah. care. He just wanted her vote. He brought her hat. So that's how I feel about this whole situation. So anyway, go ahead.
No, I agree. Like every person who get, so we didn't see every juror ask a question. So mm-hmm. whether they did or they take it like a Big Brother style where only a select few ask questions and some chime in here and there. But we didn't hear from everybody to kind of see how they were answering the rest. So if they are only getting a select few amount of questions, it really matters that you do answer them and answer them well and thought out and with a not a lengthy answer, but, you know, something with substance to them.
Yeah, I think that they all probably ask questions. I think that Australian Survivor this time around kind of ran into a problem of just like not enough time. I think mm-hmm. that's really what it came down to. I think they all probably asked, but at the end of the day, it was so obvious what was going to end up happening that we all knew that Kaylin wasn't going to win. And Miles does a phenomenal job at this final tribal. I mean, honestly, I obviously have a hard time ranking Australian Survivors. I'm not sitting down. I'm not watching it in the same way that I watch US, right? Mm-hmm. Like I am binging it. Sometimes I'm working and it's over here in the left for some of those dreadful stretches, such as in 2016, where you're like, please, for the love of God, can somebody else get voted out other than this alliance? But I'm not watching it the same way. But Miles's game is unbelievably impressive, like unbelievably impressive. And so Kaylin losing 7-1, yes, he didn't have a good final tribal council. Yes, he probably needed to do more and he didn't understand what was going on with the jury. But I think what this really came down to is they'd rather show the shenanigans of Miles and AJ. They'd rather show the dynamic of those three and Kaylin having to make this decision and how hard of a decision it was for Kaylin. Rather show that than Laura ask her question, which ultimately was just going to lead to Miles pouring it on even more. It was so obvious to us by that point. So I do think they all probably got asked questions, but Miles really just dominated and there was no reason to show it all.
What I did like though is Kaylin was not a one-trick pony in his answers either though. Like he wasn't like, I want immunity, I want immunity, I want immunity. Mm-hmm. He did have, you know, other answers to things of like, I was playing dumb, I was using, you know, Miles and AJ as shields, I was doing this, that, and the other thing under the radar. It was just a little too under the radar, slash he needed to have not Miles or AJ there, like AJ brought up, of like you cut your shields at 5 and 4, not bring them to the 3.
And I think there's a better way that Kaylin could have also addressed AJ's comment about that, but Kaylin didn't do it. Like I think Kaylin needed to really lean into, but I wanted to sit against the best players and you two were the best players. And I wanted to, like, he needed to lean into, mm-hmm. you know, to piss off some of maybe the US viewers here, but he needed to lean into the honor integrity of it all. He needed to say, you guys were playing these big flashy. Yeah. You guys were playing these big flashy chaotic games, but I wanted to play an honest game and I wanted to stick with you guys because I wanted to go up against the best and say, my strategy can work just as well as your absolute chaos strategy. But he didn't say that. And if he says that, I do think that potentially he flips a couple voters. But again, it was just he kind of got caught on his heels after his opening was phenomenal. His mm-hmm. answer to Kristen's question was phenomenal. And then all of a sudden he got caught on his heels. And it was like it was the first time Kaylin found himself being attacked, whereas Miles had been attacked from day one. Yeah. So he knew how to address that. Right. It's like, If I come out screaming at you right now, McKenna, you're gonna be like, what the hell? You've never done this. Why are you doing this? But if you're going into an event or you're going into work and you know your boss is gonna yell at you, and then your boss starts yelling at you, you kind of know how to handle it mm-hmm. because you're used to it taking place. And that's where Miles had a big advantage over Kaylin in this situation.
Yeah. And I just like also that he mentioned, because I think there is merit to, all right, whose game is more repeatable and whose mm-hmm. game would win more often? It is my game. And Miles's game would only win or would only do well maybe 3-2 out of 10 times, I will be sitting in this seat 9 out of 10 times. Like, mm-hmm. that should be something worth merit rather than all of these like flashy big moves that like really soared and then once the firework boomed, like faded into ash, because Miles had like big moves, failed moves, big moves, failed moves, where Kalen was so like steady and true that I think there is some merit to that, but a lot of people are looking for big moves all the time.
You know, so
the Miles's game becomes like the best.
Well, and I think what the biggest problem is, Kalen is 100% right. Like, if Kalen were to play, let's say they did a full all-star season, which I know that what they've only done one completely returning player season in Australian, right? Because I know that Heroes Villains
isn't correct.
Yeah. Yeah. So if they were ever to do a full returning player season again and Kalen was on that cast, I would think of Kalen as somebody who could win. Now, granted, they're all going to know he's a big challenge beast. He now has won 7 after he won the final 3 immunity challenge. So there's not going to be a bigger threat out there than him in terms of immunity challenges. But if he was playing again, I would say he could absolutely win again, because there's always going to be bigger threats. There's always going to be people who are more scarier is that word, believe it or not. They're going to be scarier because of their strategic gameplay. And Kalen doesn't really, he has a good strategy, but he doesn't have a strategy that makes you go, oh shit, I can't let this happen. The problem for Kalen is, though, the jury is looking at this and they're hearing this speech of, I have a repeatable game, I'm playing this way, this is what I wanted to do. But they're also then being able to look and say, wow, we have a chance to crown Miles the winner of our season. And people who play like him almost never get to win. So why wouldn't we crown that? It's kind of like the Wu versus Tony situation. Of course you're going to crown Tony in that situation, because Tony's game was so insane that you really don't have a choice but to admire it. And that's how I think that they felt with Miles. I felt that Kalen's pitch, while it made a lot of sense, was actually giving check marks to Miles at the final tribal council.
Kalen needed Zara, and it comes down to final four, where Kalen should have turned there on Miles. Well, not Miles.
They couldn't
on
get Miles. Day, yeah.
And then get Miles out at 3, though Zara could potentially win that final 3 challenge and take Miles over Kalen. But I think again, Zara's best shot is Kalen, because the same thing would happen again, except it would be 8-0.
Yeah. And we have this comment here from James Barber. A lot of the people who would have voted for Kalen type game didn't make the jury. The muscle guys like Ben, Jesse, PD would have never voted for Miles, but jury management. We saw this in US Survivor this past week, where people are talking about, I want to vote Say out, because I don't want her to be on the jury, because I don't want to try to figure out how she's going to vote for me in the end. And that could be a deciding vote. I'd rather her just get sent packing, get her out of the game. And so I think that, you know, obviously Miles isn't totally determining, but he does make the decision to save Pauly and send PD out of the game right before the jury begins. That's a vote in Miles' camp that probably would have gone Kalen and now notched this closer to 6-2.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I feel like the winner is just, and I also don't know how I feel, because they played such similar games. Like, did AJ deserve to win? Did Miles deserve to win? Like, I don't know. Like, I felt a certain way with Dom and Wendell. Mm-hmm. I felt I wanted Dom to win over Wendell, but I don't know. I'm happy that Miles won, and I would have been happy that AJ won, because they both did play great games. And I don't know, like, I feel like there's no side of the fence. We're all just kind of like hanging out, being like, these are good.
Well, and I think that's what's interesting, right? So far, and McKenna, I know you haven't watched these seasons, so if you want to close your ears, but I've seen Christy, I've seen Jericho. Then what was the next season? It was Champions Contenders 1, which is, God, I can't remember the names. Was that Pia? And then Champions Contenders 2 is, or am I getting that backwards? Okay, I need to look up. This is how bad. This is because I just binge it. I can remember all of the US ones. Oh, that's right. It's Shane. It's Shane, then Pia. Duh. So it's Shane, then it's Pia, and then it's
David.
David. And then I haven't seen anything beyond that, although I'm pretty sure I know who wins season 8. But oh, I'm sorry, Haley. No, and then it's Haley. And then, yeah, obviously we just did Haley. So anyway, so Shane goes there. I think that there is a fair way to say, and I haven't seen Titans versus Rebels, and I haven't seen Heroes versus Villains yet, so I don't know. But I think it is fair to say that Miles could both be the best or second best Australian Survivor winner, and also say that AJ would have been a better, more satisfying winner. Like, I think that there is an argument to be made for that. Mm-hmm. For me, when I'm hearing AJ say these things about, you know, I was playing this, you know, my resume is insane when he's talking to his friend, which I love that the final three visit, it's two friends and a mom. Okay. This is what happens when you get an all-male, like, final three,
I guess. I'm not emotional until Kaylin's mom comes out. And then I'm just like, oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah. But so you're watching this take place. And when AJ's saying all that, I'm like, he's so right. Like, his resume is insane. He didn't have to play the idols. He didn't have to win immunities, but he controlled every vote of that game. While Miles had to make all these flashy moves and do all this crazy stuff, AJ really did play a very, very phenomenal game. And I do truly think that he probably, in my opinion, he's a more satisfying winner. But at the same time, Miles is still one of the best winners, right? And that's kind of how I felt with Wendell and Dom. Dom probably is a more satisfying winner, but Wendell winning is still satisfying, and he's still one of the better winners in the history of the show.
James says, AJ said in his jury video that he played the best losing game of all time, but I also don't think it was a losing game.
He lost.
Even though he lost, like, I still don't feel like his game was a losing game. Like, I feel it. I mean, it obviously could have won. I don't know. It's just like such a weird, like, final three situation for me where I don't think AJ played a losing game, even though he lost.
The biggest mistake that AJ made is putting all of his eggs in the Kaylin basket. That was the biggest mistake he made. Because if Miles wins, Miles isn't taking it.
Well, he needs to make better with Miles, is essentially, like, he needed it at 7 to, like, hardcore align with Miles again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that was the biggest problem with AJ's game is AJ got down to final three, where he's looking at it as, I have a 2/3 chance of making it to final tribal, right? And Kaylin's a beast, so Kaylin's probably going to win this, and that's fine. But he told too many people, including Kaylin, how amazing his game was. He was stating that at tribal councils. He was saying that to other people. And that was the biggest mistake of his game. James Barger says that he said that his mistake was taking Kaylin. I'm not even saying that it was taking Kaylin. It's the fact that he was telling everybody how good his game was. When you tell people how good your game is, they're not going to sit next to you. Plus, who's a better talker, AJ or Miles? It's AJ. So if you're Kaylin, you don't want to sit next to AJ at Final Tribal, where he's got a great resume that he's told everybody he has. And now he's going to sit here and he's going to make his pitch? Get the hell out of here. I don't want to sit next to that. So his mistake was kind of his hubris, right? He got too cocky in, I'm playing the best game, I can't lose. He's telling Miles, you can't win. And then his biggest mistake was he goes and he tells Kaylin, well, why don't you just go tell him that you'll go to final two with him so that he'll just vote off Zara with us so that we do whatever. And Kaylin's like, okay, I'll do that. And Kaylin goes over and makes a legitimate promise to Miles. And that's the difference in that moment.
Yeah.
And AJ let him have that. This was kind of like Chrissy letting Ben play double agent. You can't let the other person go do this because they might take it seriously. You might be the one that they're lying to. And so ultimately, that's what did AJ in. In terms of best to never win, I don't know about that. But in terms of, like, if AJ sits at Final Tribal Council, I think he wins 100% of the time. That's the thing. And so it's not like a Russell Hance game. But it's also, he had a little Ceree to him. Mm-hmm. Where because he was so good, nobody wanted to actually sit next to him at the end. Although Aris would have sat next to Suri, so what do I know?
That's true. Well, I mean, if it wasn't a final two in Micronesia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's true.
Suri's at the end and winning.
That's true.
My Siri is acting up now. Mm-hmm. All right.
Because you're saying Suri, it thinks you're saying Siri.
Yes.
Oops. So let me throw this up here from Hrovjay, and sorry if I'm saying there. I don't know which I'm assuming that the HRV, I don't know if you say all of that, but I'm going to just go based on that. If you want to correct me, correct me. Miles is too chaotic, Phil. It's a fun game and an impressive journey, but there's been more consistent and dominant AU winners. For me, though, I think what's most impressive about Miles' game is how chaotic it was. Because generally, this type of gameplay does go kind of far and then eventually gets snipped because you can't let that keep happening. I mean, Haley got voted out of the game.
Yeah.
Miles didn't get voted out of the game. You know, I think our recap, does our recap for this season come out on Friday? I forget what week we're on now for BVB1. I know that we're done with it, but I can't remember if it came out last week or this week.
We're done with it.
Okay. So Blood versus Water comes out this week. So anyway, you heard all we had to say about Haley last week. I take Miles' game over Shane or Pia's games. And I'm not saying that Shane and Pia didn't play great games. I'm just saying, like, I would take Miles' game over them. I would take Miles over Christy. And I would probably take Miles over Jericho. Like, to me, Miles played this big, loud, in-your-face game and got away with it. And understood how to never cross the line of personal and gameplay. Because he got to a jury where he played idols and had a hand in voting every single person out of that game, and they still all were willing to vote for him to win. And that doesn't happen very often.
Some people, it was solely voted them out of the game, like with the idol plays and things like that. I mean, with AJ, but like solely.
Yeah. No, of course. It's pretty impressive. So that's where I go with Miles, where I understand the consistency and all that, but like, it's why I think people, if you were looking at just the first games of every winner, the first game they played, that's why most people would say Tony played the best winning game. Tony made a lot of mistakes on that season, but Tony was authentically Tony the entire time and did everything he needed to and still won. We don't see that generally in Survivor, right? We don't see the person who's so loud from day one get to the end and win.
Do we think Rachel is a decent comparison to Miles? I mean, she has that immunity record. She was on the bottom for a good chunk of the time.
No. And also, Miles only won one immunity. I know he played a lot of successful idols, but he only actually won one immunity. So it wasn't like he went on an immunity run. Also, I think Rachel is so much more reserved than Miles. Rachel's not running around the island calling herself the jungle rat and I can't be killed and you guys are whatever. And look, I found another idol. Like,
she's like, Rachel, bless, thank you.
Yeah. Rachel played a very conservative, dominant game. Mm-hmm. I think Miles, like Miles said, he was going to keep swinging no matter what. He was going to miss sometimes, but he was just going to keep swinging. Miles plays again, even if he were to play with, even if the other nine winners of Australian Survivor started off on his tribe, I think he's the first person voted out of whatever season he's on next because he's just way too insane. You don't want to play with him.
I'd agree too. I think Miles is just one of those ones where you can't let them get footing in the game. But I felt the same way about AJ once he survived and they're like, oh, we can do AJ next, AJ next. I'm like, well, AJ is just going to be here. Like, you have to always take out those people that you feel like, oh, we can do next time. You have to like reverse and be like, no, they have to go now because there will not be a next time.
There won't be. Yeah. Next time. There won't be a next time. There you go. And so speaking of that, then, so we got down to the final four. That's where we started. We didn't talk about this final four vote. Zara gets voted out 3-1. Now, the argument from Zara was, let's force fire between AJ and myself. Neither one of us can make fire, but let's do it. For me,
day 40, what? They can't make fire?
I know. 45. Day 45. I know. So would you say that voting out Zara here was the right move then? Because, like you're saying, it kept getting to the point where there's not going to be a next time. Is Zara the right play here, or should Miles have considered putting AJ up, because at this point he doesn't know that Kalen is going to actually come through on his promise and take him to the end.
I think he needs to put Zara in fire against AJ, because I think if you pull what AJ did of play with your heart, then Kalen takes Miles to the end again. If he's like, you know, go with your gut, go with your head, you take Zara to the end.
Zara ever beat Miles or ever beat Kalen in that last challenge, you think?
Yeah, it's definitely possible, because Zara outlasted him in some other immunity challenges, I'm pretty sure. Like the peg one, Zara was like,
yeah.
Oh, and the rope hang.
Mm-hmm.
Zara was, oh no, I think they targeted Zara in the pegs. Anywho, but the rope hang, she was on longer than Kalen was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wonder that, because that might have been, that's where, like, if you're Miles, are you better off going to final three with Zara and Kalen, knowing that Zara's best chance is to probably beat you? At that point, Zara is probably thinking, I'd rather go against Miles at final two.
I think Miles' more guaranteed shot at going forward is keeping Zara in the game 100%.
Because that jury was all women except for Paulie, which Zara's probably getting those votes.
But she pissed off Laura and Logan, and maybe, like, I think she's guaranteed Karin's vote.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think anybody else is a guarantee. Maybe Kristen, unless Kalen's there, then Kristen's going to Kalen.
But I do think this jury was very, very not bitter. So I think that would have worked in Zara's favor as well. They were not bitter at all. And I think it would have been hard. Look, Zara didn't have the same, like, ha, 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 everything's fine, we're just having fun out here mentality as the other three here. But I still think that the jury would not have been that pissed at Zara when this happens. They would have heard her out. This jury, like, credit to the jury, because this jury really did hear them all out. And I know throughout the season, there was a lot of people who were like, oh, Logan and Karin, like, are they being negative with certain things? It's like, this was a jury that really heard everybody out. And I appreciated that, because, you know, but ultimately we're second guessing, should Miles have done something when Miles goes on to win the million anyway? It's just a matter of, was it the right
choice?
It's
just his guarantee to get to the final, if he still has this conversation with Kalen, is Zara. But I don't know if he has that conversation with Kalen if he votes for AJ.
Yeah. Valet Boy 21 here says her height would have made that last challenge impossible. I think that those
adjusted.
Yeah. I think things were maneuvered based on height, because all of them were kind of full stretch. AJ, or they're not all the same height. So for me, I felt like it was probably adjusted. They just don't explain it like they do on Survivor US. Yeah, so here's the James Barber. I don't watch the Jury Villas. The jury was mad at the Jury Villas, but they all said they would vote for the best player. So Zara could have potentially had a chance. Zara versus Kalen could have gotten interesting.
Yeah.
I just think Miles came into that final tribal council so prepared. You know, he was the guy, he studied for the test and he was ready to go. It didn't matter. Yeah. You know, it doesn't matter if he forgets everything he said to them all 5 minutes later. He knew what he wanted to do at that tribal council. So
saying before, being that underdog and constantly needing to be on your toes to find an answer for something really was advantageous for final tribal council to adjust to what the jury was trying to say and talk about.
Yeah. And Hiroja here says, Kalen is the big fan whose favorite player is Haley from Brains vs. Brawn. He just miscalculated his endgame. And I think that's fair. I mean, look, Amanda Kimmel did it twice. Right. By the way, Todd's on the podcast on Saturday for everybody who wants to know that. Todd at 5 p.m. Eastern time. But yeah, Amanda Kimmel did it twice. It happens. It happens. And you know, here's what James Barber says. He could have brought up how people like Karin and Logan always thought they had his vote when he was never with them. This is Kalen he's talking about. He was also feeding Miles and AJ with a lot of information, but he didn't.
He brought that up in his little package in some of the before vote situations of like, I was always in the know or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, that comment is right. He should have pitch that, like, where, all right, everyone thinks I'm this golden retriever. Now I've got to be the sheepdog and herd mm-hmm. everyone to the correct vote. Like, he had a lot going for him if he had just explained it.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Somebody earlier had asked if we're going to talk about Survivor AU versus the world. We'll talk about it a little bit here. I mean, we've known this cast for a while, but we'll talk about it a little bit here at the end of this podcast. So stick around if you're waiting for that. Maybe we'll do like a full-fledged podcast at some point, but tonight I'm driving to Atlanta. So that'll be my fifth bed in 6 nights. That's how much I've been traveling around right now for work and then finally going to have some fun at this event. But it won't be this week. That's the statement that needs to be made there is if we do an AU versus the world cast assessment, it is not going to be this week. That's for sure. So we'll talk a little bit about it here at the end. So for you, you've seen the seasons. I haven't, but let's talk about this more in context. What a lot of people will have me do is when I do these seasons, they'll have me compare them to the year that it just took place. So 2025, what would be the winner comparison between Miles and whoever wins 48, 49? Now, obviously, we don't know who wins 48 and 49. So I'm going to go back to 40. I'm going to go back to 46 and 47 here and ask you this way.
Okay.
How would you compare Miles' game to what we saw from Kenzie and what we saw from Rachel? And obviously, there's a lot more episodes. There was a lot more chaos with this. Which one do you prefer? Which style of Survivor do you prefer?
I feel like they all three do have a decent amount of similarities. All were at dead bottom at some point, used either immunities or idols to further themselves. But I don't, maybe it's a bias toward a women winner. And like, I feel like I see a lot of the AJ Miles archetypes a lot. I don't know. Or like, I was so oversaturated with that in early mid, like the heyday of Survivor, that I'd prefer like I like the Rachel win a lot. I thought Kenzie was good. I thought Charlie was also good. I was okay with either. So I lean more toward Rachel. Preferring to watch a game, I think I'd prefer to watch 47.
Yeah, I think I'd probably go Rachel, Miles, Kenzie. There's three really good winners, but that's probably how I would order it out because I agree. I think the other thing that's impressive, and obviously Kenzie beat Charlie and all the drama surrounding that. But I think what was also really impressive about Miles' game is he was playing with strong players the entire time. Like, he was eliminating the people that felt like they had no chance to win to keep the people who felt like they could beat him. And they were just shield, knowing that that was the only way he could get through the game. He needed to have big people around him because he was just playing too aggressive of a game and he didn't know how to turn it off. He wanted to be chaos.
I'm so glad about, at least with this season of Australian Survivor, like, yes, we had, you know, a few people. We had toward the end, it has to be either AJ or Miles. But before that, we were like, it's Karin or Logan or AJ or Miles. And then Kaylin was this oddball that if he turns it up, we could see something. So I feel like there was a little bit more of, you know, some dynamics. But once like Genevieve was out in 47, we kind of knew it has to be Rachel if she gets there.
Yeah. Sam had a little bit of a shot, but not much.
Right.
Yeah.
Sam had the shot if Rachel did not get there.
Yeah.
I feel like I do appreciate the gameplay in AU where it was like we knew a good amount toward the end middle merge that like these people have shots.
Yeah. So Shane Cup says, that's why Jeff hates final twos. Kaylin basically picked the winner, but then James Barber says, if it's a final three, AJ goes at four and nothing changes. I don't know if that's true.
I don't think that's true.
I think Kaylin would have wanted to keep AJ and then maybe we do see an AJ versus Zara fire making challenge and AJ probably beats her.
It's going to be Brad, Sarah, Troy Zan final three.
Yeah, and Kaylin's the Troy Zan there.
Yes.
Yeah, even though Brad won.
Yeah, yeah.
But... yeah, yeah. Just so nobody's confused. I feel that. And her OJ says, Kaylin should have brought up telling everybody about Logan's idol and being the reason why Laura ended up going home. There's, I think the girls had no idea how crucial he was to their downfall.
Yeah. A laundry list of what Kaylin could have and should have said to win the game. But
so Brains versus Brawn 2 versus Brain versus Brawn 1. We just binged the crap out of Brains versus Brawn 1. What did you prefer?
I feel like I connected with more of the Brains versus Brawn 2 people, but I feel like I might lean more towards 2.
See, I think I would go 1. I think George is a more entertaining version of Miles. Even though he doesn't win, I think Haley is a very fun underdog. There's some characters, like I've talked about, that are just invisible for way too long of that. And honestly, Australian Survivor, if anybody is listening, give Kaylin 30 more confessionals that we're sitting here at the end going, could Kaylin win this? Because there's no reason that – essentially what happened was Kaylin won immunity. And then when he picked who was going home, I was like, okay, great. So Miles wins. Okay, like it's over. I don't need to watch the last 25 minutes of this episode now. I did because I wanted to see what the final tribal was going to be. But we all know the end result if we watch the show because Kaylin got no edit. So give him 30 more confessionals and let's leave that up to the fans to decide and make it more exciting down the stretch. It's not that hard to do. You have an hour and 15 minutes, sometimes over an hour and 20. Give him more content.
And Kaylin was on the losing tribe a lot in the swap. So there's a way to give Kaylin, especially someone who makes it to Final Tribal Council, more confessionals.
Yeah. So for me, I think BVB1 is a better season. Way too many stupid twists in that season for sure. Very dumb twists in there. But I think that
people more because I know the people more.
Well, I was going to say, I think for Brains vs. Brawn 2, for sure, it has the benefit of the coven. That was fun. We got to know that better. Even in the pre-merge, you had Max, you had Kent, you had players like that. So I do think that 1, ultimately, for me, is a more entertaining season, something that I'd rather watch. But I do think that 2 is a solid season. It just ultimately falls a little short, I think, of 1, in my opinion. Not much different, though.
Yeah, I think they are very along the same tracks. It's just like 1 has more of this, less of that. 1 has more of this, less of that. So it's just kind of whatever you prefer.
And Brawn stinks. Brawn's got to get it together.
Brains versus Brawn 3. Brawn is going to come for
They should have 16. Brawn should have 16 people that season, and Brain should only have 8 so that it's even.
Bronze versus Bronze.
Bronze versus Brain. There you go. So is there anything else you want to talk about with this episode or these episodes, or should we talk a little AU versus the world?
Let's go into AU versus the world. I think this was a pretty good overall season. Miles deserved his win, and I think Kaylin was a great runner-up as well. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think
he got a vote too. I like when everybody gets a vote.
Yeah, when everybody can be happy and smile and do all that fun stuff. cool. Kumbaya. Go watch the New Era players sing Unwritten or whatever and make half the internet's head explode. Okay, McKenna, that's for you. Anyway, so let's talk about this cast. So we are going to have only 14 people, which is funny that we're sitting here going, it's only 14 people, which is 2 less than what U.S. Survivor seasons used to be. So it's not even that few of people. But I think a lot of people were saying, wow, they could have had a massive 24-person cast for this. That would have been epic. But probably contracts, probably people asking for money, whatever. So you got 14 people, a little bit shorter of a season. I don't know exactly how many days they're playing. So we have 7 Australians taking on 7 the worlds. The biggest thing, we all knew Parvati, Ceree, and Tony were on this. Like, we all knew.
Yeah.
My biggest takeaway, though, is with the 7-versus-7 start, and being that it's 4 worlds versus 3 U.S., aren't Parvati, Ceree, and Tony just screwed right off the bat? Like, aren't they just going to vote those guys out? Am I wrong
on that? Absolutely not. It's Parvati, Ceree, and Tony. They are going to get one of the worlds to flip to be with them, and there you go.
Have you watched any of the worlds?
No.
Me either.
I've only watched AU, so we're in the same boat.
And you know what's crazy? I'm not going to.
Yeah, like,
no. I might watch some highlights of like Rob. I might watch some highlights of Lisa, of Tommy, and of Cassandra. But that I'm not doing it. I'm sorry. Like, stop doing this.
Yeah, I remember Intern and Alexa watched a season of New Zealand, but I don't know who, if any, are on this season. What, it's Quebec?
I think it's Rob from South Africa, because I think they did the South Africa
season. Oh, South Africa. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, the winner only gets $250,000 on this season because it is less people. But,
and it's a shortened time, too.
So for Australia, we have Shawnee, King George, Kirby, who I haven't seen because I haven't watched Titans vs. Rebels, David, Janine, Luke, and of course the one we're all the most excited about, which is Sarah. I know. And when I say that, I'm not being sarcastic. I'm so pumped to watch Sarah play again. It blew my mind after watching 2017 or while watching 2017.
She was my winner pick. It was her and Mark Wales for 2017.
How'd that go for you in 2017?
It worked just fine.
Mark Wells, good pick in 2017, McKenna. Anyway.
He comes back for Blood versus Water.
Oh, I'm watching him right now.
Yeah, he was my re-winner pick in Blood versus Water. I was like, I'm going to double down on this one.
He very much, I was saying this, it was so crazy to me to watch the beginning of Blood versus Water because I know it came right after COVID and I'm not being like, you know, I don't want to be like body shaming here, but it was insane to me to see like Mark and Andy back on that season. Because both of them just put on so much weight in between their first game and that. And it is so much because of, like, COVID. Nobody's doing anything. Like, you were just in your house. And, like, here comes Mark for his second time. I'm like, that guy came in with a chiseled jaw and was just a beefcake last time. And now I'm, like, six episodes.
Big boy.
Oh, no, he's big. He's a muscular dude. But now I'm six episodes in, and he's starting to look like the Mark I remember. And I don't even know if he made it six episodes in that first one. So, anyway. I'm excited for this Australia group. I think that they pretty much, you know, when you're talking Luke and David and King George, those are the men.
Kirby's going to fit right in with that too. Okay. She was my favorite in Titans versus Rebels. Her and Ferris kind of have a Miles AJ situation going on. Less, I think, luck and risk. I think in more control, but it's kind of like, you know, the two sides of the coin. Mm-hmm. And I'm really excited that they brought Kirby back for this season.
Did you see the person with the picture of Kirby?
Yes.
Kirby. I think that the men they picked, they couldn't have done a better job. Like I said, I haven't watched the last two seasons and I'm only like a little bit into Blood versus Water, but I can already tell you that in Blood versus Water, none of the men are going to outshine King George, David, or Luke. Those are the three guys you should pick. And then in terms of the women, like Shawnee, obviously you're going to put her on. There's no way you're not going to do that. I haven't seen Kirby. And like Janine surprises me a little bit, although I am more than content to watch Janine play again. I feel like Janine was super entertaining on her first season. So like, I'm ready to watch her again. Although I am a little surprised at her, but like finally getting Sarah.
I haven't seen Janine or heard of Janine.
So Janine was on Champions Contenders 2.
2019.
And she was the one who was pretty much most closely aligned with Pia, who ends up winning. Okay. And her and Pia are like, she keeps saying like people don't realize how good Pia is at this game. And Harry continuously calls her the godmother throughout the entire season. So that's James Barber throws that up. So, I mean, Janine's good. Like I'm excited for Janine to be back out there. And then, I mean, yeah, Sarah is probably who I'm the most excited for though, just because 2017's probably my favorite of Australian Survivor thus far. And that cast is great. And I always thought Sarah was just such an even player the entire time. So I feel like she could be a lot of fun on this season and I'd like to see her go far. So I'm excited. I think they did a really good job, even though they have such a reduced casting pool. I think they did a good job. I just wish that they would have done four US survivors and three from other series.
It'll be interesting to see like Luke and Sarah back together. We have George and Shawnee back together. Cause they're in Heroes versus Villains.
Yeah. I haven't seen that yet. Yeah.
And then it's not. Oh, and then we have.
And David and Luke.
David and Luke, but also David and Janine.
Oh, and isn't it? And David and Shawnee. I mean, David's the most connected here. David's going home first. There's no way I would be floored if David doesn't get voted out almost right away on this season. I would be shocked.
Lose the big boy from that tribe then.
I feel like they have to though. Like I would be absolutely floored. I mean, he won All Stars and he's connected with everybody. I mean, maybe Luke's like, oh, I'll keep him around, but they don't know that yet.
Yeah, that's true.
They don't. You know, everybody else does, but they don't. But in Parvati's on the other tribe, so he has to make a swap or a merge or whatever. I mean, I know you jokingly were like, oh, these are going to be the three U.S. Any shot for Suri and Parvati on this season, though? Or do you think Australia will take it?
I feel like it's hard because the U.S. survivors, I feel like, have more, still more of a fan base where like if you're an Australian survivor you'd be like, oh, I watched you play. Mm-hmm. Where you know you have that with Parv, Suri, Tony, and we don't really have that here for, you know, the U.S. survivors being like, oh, I watched you play your season. Mm-hmm. So I think there's just a little bit of fans versus favorites situation, and we see how like that plays out. And Parvati is an excellent navigator. Suri's an excellent navigator. I think Tony would have the hardest time because he's so aggressive, where Parvati and Suri just kind of like snake their way through and Tony rams through everything like a brick wall.
Yeah, he's a battering ram. Yeah, he can't help himself.
Yeah, so I think they could make it to a swap and a merge. I think they easily take one of the worlds in because none of the worlds are from the same.
Yeah. And it's two winners and two runners up there. So it's not like those people aren't threatening. If you watch their seasons, you know, they're good.
Right. If people watch their seasons,
I don't know. That's the big thing. I didn't even know Survivor Finland existed.
Yep.
I knew about New Zealand. I knew about South Africa. I didn't know about Quebec and I did not know about, no idea.
Nope, me either. So it'll be interesting to see what happens on the beach, but I think the U.S. could definitely at least make it to a swap. It'll be interesting to see them navigate a King George, a David, a Shawnee, like people that are, Shawnee is like a Parvati in Australian Survivor. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it'll be interesting for people to like maybe meet counterparts.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. I think it'll be fun.
George and Tony meeting on an island? Holy crap.
I mean, Luke and Tony, James Barber says it here, doing a spy shack together. That'd be amazing. Like,
oh, yeah, that's right.
That would be great. Creeping. So the cast is exciting. Cast is exciting. It can't be a final four of the world people that aren't the U.S. survivors, because then I'm going to be like, well, what the hell? But like, I'm excited to watch this. And honestly, maybe this will create something where Australian Survivor starts doing these mini seasons to get two seasons in, and they start taking people from around, because why not? You know, like who cares? So I'm excited to see how it's going to shake out. I mean, I know that there's supposedly, people have commented so many times being like, there's spoilers. I'm not going to, I don't post anything. I don't want to know. I don't know. But also remember that a lot of people are probably also writing fan fiction like crazy about this season right now. So I wouldn't buy into anything too much unless like King George literally tweeted out like, hey, I got 13th place and this is the boot order. I'm not going to be totally sold on it quite yet, even though I get why some people are already like, can't believe they spoiled this. But don't read spoilers then. Like, just avoid them. If you don't do a podcast, you should be able to avoid spoilers. I just do a podcast. And so when people commented, I'm the one who has to delete it. So it sucks, but although I'm back, McKenna, to stop reading comments. Man, the last couple episodes I've done, people are so angry with me, and I'm just like, all right, guys, that's it. I'm done reading comments.
Terrible takes.
I know. I made a mistake starting to read comments again. I've been called delusional, holier than thou, insufferable.
All right, everyone. I am now taking over the Survivor.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
We're getting another rebrand.
What movie is that where she's like, how's that supposed to make me feel? Yeah. You know, that's how I feel right now. How's that supposed to make me feel, everybody? Like, you know, you could just say nothing or just not listen to the podcast. Like, and I like the ones who are like, I'm a fan of yours, but you're insufferable and you're awful and I hate this. And it's like, if you're going to start calling me names, you're not my fan. Come on. Yeah.
No one's forcing you to be here.
No one. Although, if you are still here, like this video, because now we've talked for 50 minutes.
Comment nice things for Phil, yeah. So it makes him feel
I'm not
better.
Reading them. I'm done. If you comment nice things, hopefully my mom comes in and she says something and she tells me.
All right. I'll send him some screenshots.
Yeah. Blake always, the problem is Blake always sends me screenshots of the negative ones about him. So then after we did, I knew that our digging deeper from last week would be a little controversial just because we were like, I was essentially calling people out being like, there's, and I understand when I say Survivor fans, I'm literally talking to like the 75 people who don't shut up on Twitter, who just have the loudest voice and think that they know everything. And, but then people take that as like, you're talking to everybody. And it's like, I knew that would be somewhat controversial, but man, people were so angry with me. And I was like, let me just go see what the comments are just to like, you know, see if like anybody agreed or like what the take was. Cause I was trying to kind of open up a space for like a difference of opinion. And instead it was just like, yo, Phil, like, you know, they used to put tablets in people's teeth that you could chew on sometimes. So I'm like, man, everybody calm down here. Like, let's just have a nice time. But anyway, I'm not going to read the comments anymore. Blake will probably send me some negative stuff after Wednesday night's podcast, because tomorrow night it is Blake and Will who are podcasting the recap of this week's episode, because I'm going to be at the Ron Clark event, which is another thing that is just pissing people off. I had Ron Clark on the episode this week. And people were like, we're tired of hearing about how you're going to this event. Stop kissing his ass. And it's like, dude, I don't need to kiss Ron Clark's ass. Like, I like Ron Clark. It's not my fault. So anyway.
You guys at the Ron Clark event.
Yeah. And if I'm going to see all of you, if you're going to be there, like, say hi. And if you're not going to be there, I'm sorry you couldn't be there. But anyway. So, yeah. You know, it'll be Blake and Will tomorrow. If you want to say mean things about Blake and Will, go ahead, because Blake reads them and he's going to screenshot them. He's going to send them to me, and then that's going to put me in a bad mood. And tomorrow night, I'm going to do that. And then Thursday, I have to go to work and then drive home from Atlanta, which is a long drive. So I'll have like 8 hours to just stew over angry comments on social media.
But you know what
so
you
please.
Could do on Thursday? Listen to Kyle and I podcast on The Amazing Race. And
maybe
then
I'll listen live.
Yeah, you could listen live to Kyle and I, and you can comment the mean comments.
Maybe I'll listen live about a season that I don't even know what's existing. Although I you want to know who wins the Big Brother version? Because, oh my God, has people been so shameless and pathetic with spoiling that one openly on social media. It's been brutal.
Oh, Big Brother.
The Big Brother Amazing Race season that's coming out.
Oh, yeah.
That's the most spoiled thing of all time. I don't even know if CBS should put it out at this point. Like, what's the point? I could tell you, I don't know who any of the Big Brothers are, but I could tell you the final three pairs if you want to know.
No.
Because that has not been behind like a Big Brother or like an Amazing Race spoilers. That's just people tweeting being like, oh, I guess everybody wants to know. Like, stop posting spoilers of shit. What's wrong with you? Anyway, thank you for listening to our Survivor Australia coverage. I know we just went on a tangent. Thank you for listening to our Survivor Australia coverage. Thank you for being here. Yes. Thank you for listening to our delusions, my delusions. McKenna, you don't get angry comments for some reason. Thank you for listening, though. Congrats to Miles. He deserved it. A lot of people were asking, are you going to get people to do tell-alls at the end? I would love to. I reached out to a couple of the players. Hopefully they hear this. If they're listening to our recap, they have turned this off a long time ago. But, you know, I don't know if the best approach, I'm not going to call anybody else, I don't know if the best approach is to tweet at them almost every day and ask if they're going to come on our podcast. I appreciate the support here, but, you know, give a little breathing room there. I don't know if that's necessarily going to catch their eye or drive them a little crazy, but I have reached out to a couple people. I've heard back from some. It's just a matter of, can we figure out timing and all of that? And like I said, like, up until Friday, I'm not a human. So I'm just driving in my car. I'm working, driving, working, driving, working, driving. Mm-hmm. So here we are. But yeah, maybe we will, maybe we won't. Follow us on social media to find out more. I'm going to be doing Blood versus Water. I guess that first episode comes out Friday. I recorded it, so I don't remember, but I guess it comes out on Friday. So become a patron, patreon.com/specialist. Like this video, subscribe to the channel, comment nice things. I'm not going to read them, but comment them anyway. And I will see you all with regular US Survivor. Holy crap. The only thing on the channel now is US Survivor and McKenna doing The Amazing Race. What a time to be alive. We have made it. We have
just wait till AU versus the world, Phil. Then we'll get more stuff back on the channel.
I am fine with that because that is during a time when nothing else is on. This was the most insane crossover season ever. US, this, Dondi, Traders. Thank God we have hit the end of that. Okay. Bye, everybody.
Bye.